This is Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, on your flagship station of the Jacksonville Jaguars, News Talk Radio WOKV. To join Brian Sexton, Jeff Lagerman, and Vic Ketchman, dial 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL-1. Jaguars This Week is brought to you in part by Prudential Network Realty, Ticket Exchange, and by the Jacksonville Transportation Group. Now, here's the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton.
Well, it's not the voice of Brian Sexton. It's the voice of Jeff Lagerman, joined by senior editor of Jaguars.com, Vic Ketchman, and we are here to talk about all of the things that transpired at the end of last week in the NFL draft, and certainly a lot of news to add since the draft. Mm-hmm. The Jaguars have added a lot of faces as undrafted rookie free agents. They have, I don't want to say signed, but they are going to have workout players at the weekend minicamp coming up, and I think that number is right at 8. Mm-hmm. So a lot of things have happened, and certainly the airwaves have been certainly brimming mm-hmm. with commentary, whether it be good or bad, about the Jaguars draft since Thursday's first round concluded mm-hmm. Late in the evening. But your take, first of all, now that you've had a chance to kind of digest the first round pick of Tyson Alualu.
Oh, I'm fine with it. I've had a chance for it to be presented to me in a cell capacity, and I've had a chance to read the detractors. You know, this is why they shouldn't have done it, and I've had a chance to do the real homework, which is get on the phone and talk to guys I know in other cities and find out what the deal was with this guy, and I've found out a lot about him. I know that, for example, going with my connections, that Pittsburgh loved him, that they had given a lot of consideration to him because they thought that he was a guy who might make it down to their pick at 18. And they loved him as a player and then decided that he just didn't fit in a 3-4, that he just was not going to be a 3-4 type of end, that he was more of a 3-technique tackle in a 4-3. I know that Miami was the hottest team on him. Denver was hot on him too, but Miami was the one that really had him zeroed in, and they had the 12th pick. Now, Jeff, let me paint this scenario to you and tell me what you think it tells you. The Jaguars knew that the Dolphins were hot on this guy. They knew it from contact between the Dolphins and Tyson Alualu. Jaguars are at 10. The Dolphins are at 12. Gene Smith wants to trade back. But he also knows that this trade back scenario that he had planned that included Tyson Alualu might have to go without Tyson Alualu if he trades back because the Dolphins could take him at 12. So he doesn't get the trade back he's looking for, which now allows him to just pull the trigger at 10 on Alualu.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately, what do the Dolphins do?
Trade down.
Trade out of the 12 hole. They trade all the way back to 28. I'm sorry. Where was
I don't remember.
I think it was 28. They trade all the way back to 28 with San Diego, where they take Jared Odrick, the defensive tackle from Penn State. Now, put that information together. What does it tell you? What would it suggest?
It would suggest that Tyson was a candidate to be drafted at number 12.
It sounds
by the Dolphins.
It would appear that their guy was drafted by the Jaguars, and when that happened, then they got out of the pick and moved down to where they got their second target, Odrick, at the same position, fit. Isn't that what it sounds like?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, let me say this. Let's say the Jaguars take at 10 Jason Pierre-Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Two picks later, Bill Parcells picks Tyson Alualu. What is Mel Kiper saying about Parcells' selection of Alualu?
And that he is a great horse picker, good pick, going to be a
this
good
is
pit.
Why Bill Parcells is Bill Parcells, yeah. Because he hits on the ones the others miss.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, well, and Gene Smith is kind of an unknown.
That's why.
And obviously it's the Jaguars being a franchise that are not the Dallas Cowboys or Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots. Mm-hmm. The opinion kind of gets skewed a little bit, mm-hmm. just because it's the Jaguars. You know, it's a team that people around the league and fans kind of want to beat up on at times. And it's a relatively unknown general manager, so that happens. But mm-hmm. you know what it reminded me of? Kind of took me back down to that draft back in 1989 where Mel Kiper hammered
you.
The New York Jets for drafting me. I had some flashbacks mm-hmm. over the weekend about this. And it kind of probably going to be in the same category for Tyson Alualu. But he'll carry it as a chip.
Folks, if you want to have some fun, go to YouTube and type in Kiper Tobin, T-O-B-I-N, feud. And a video will come up, I'm sure, of Bill Tobin going off on Mel Kiper.
Oh, yeah.
It's hilarious stuff. Who the hell is Mel Kiper? Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Some guy working out of his basement in Baltimore. What does he know?
Well, yeah, exactly. Of course, the Colts used to be in Baltimore,
mm-hmm.
where Kiper tried several times to
get a job.
To
with
get a
that
job,
team.
Was rejected, rebuffed by the Colts, who then moved to Indianapolis. And of course, then Tobin claimed that all of this was part of the angst, the anger, and the bitterness that Kiper held for the Colts and for, of course, their pick of Trev Alberts over Trent Dilfer. As it turned out, it was, you know,
either way,
it didn't matter. They
but
were
Trent won a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Ray Lewis won that Super Bowl. But anyhow, it's not as though this is a first. Kiper will blindside somebody every year, and the moment that Gene Smith picked Tyson Alualu, everybody had to know Kiper was going to get him. I mean, it was the easy. What did remember when Kiper got Tom Coughlin for the Marcus Stroud pick? Claimed it was the biggest reach in the first round. Hey, there
worked
was some
out pretty good.
There were some guys drafted. It was a guy drafted right ahead of him, Jamal Reynolds, by the Buffalo Bills, I believe at number 11, who was a complete bust.
Yes, he was.
All right. Kiper never came back and said I was wrong about that. So anyhow, you get the point.
I will say this: and I understand some of the people's angst. Okay, and the reason that I understand that is the draft is a time of hope. Okay, it's a chance for people to cling that their team is going to get better. And if they don't know hope and they can't touch and feel that hope, sometimes they can be kind of turned off in a different direction.
Defensive tackles just don't get it done.
Well, it's not so much defensive tackle. It's California. It's Louisiana Tech. It's Central Arkansas, Murray State, Southern Illinois, James Madison.
What's wrong with Cal?
Nothing. But we don't see him.
Oh.
So these are the how do you cling to hope when you don't know it? You know what I mean?
So you have to draft local guys?
No, I'm saying that we had talked Thursday night about would Gene Smith have the courage to stick to his guns? He certainly has it. He had these players rated at the top of his board, and he took them. Well, and for one thing that people have to understand, what do you base history on? Past performance. And hey, look, Gene had one heck of a draft last year. So you know what I'm saying about this draft? I'm excited because last year he picked some good ones.
Well, you know, my thing is that Alualu is a guy who can make Gene Smith famous.
He could.
All right. If this guy turns out to be a home run, then this becomes everybody knows now. If because Kiper, you know,
he
blindsided
a horse picker.
Right. Everybody knows now. They know about this clash.
All right. We'll take a break. This portion of Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Best Buy. Remember to stop by the brand new Best Buy in the St. John's Town Center. We'll be back with Jaguars This Week on the other side with me, Jeff Logum, and Vic Ketchman right here on WOKV. The second annual Jacksonville Backyard Barbecue Championships are May 15th at the Firefighter Tower at I-10 in Stockton. For tickets and information, visit jacksbbqchampionships.com or wokv.com. The Jacksonville Backyard Barbecue Championships are a fundraiser for the Glenn Cook Memorial Scholarship for Daniel Kids, and we are back with Jeff Loggeman and Vic Ketchman here on News Talk Radio WAKV for Jaguars this week. Couple other items just to kind of get to, and that the reshaping of the roster continues past the draft. The Jaguars let go some guys. Clint Ingram's tender was rescinded, which means he's going to be moving on. John Henderson was released. Brian Iwu, Montavious Stanley, and linebacker Tank Daniels were all released. Your thoughts on that?
Well, you said it best when you said reshaping. Obviously, they are not happy with the way they played defense last year. You know, all those guys there, Henderson, Ingram, they were defensive starters. They signed Freddie Keyeo, a linebacker, a defensive guy.
Who started for not last year, but the year before for the Colts and was a pretty good player.
Yeah, Brian Iwu, a defensive guy. Montavious Stanley, a defensive guy. It's just all right now, it's just all defense, defense, defense. And let's not forget how that last season ended. You know, it was very anticlimactic for the fan who sat there and watched this ho-hummer against the Browns. It was kind of after the fact. They weren't in the playoff hunt anyhow. But it was a bitter, bitter pill for Gene Smith to swallow, for this team to get pushed around Cleveland Stadium the way it did. And it resonated. That butt-whipping along the line, the butt-whipping that defensive line took in Cleveland that day resonated, and you obviously are seeing the effects of it now.
Well, and some of the players that are obviously going to have to step in. Tyson Alualu, I had a chance today and watched a little bit of film of Tyson Alualu against USC, which I think would be, most people would say that's the best competition right. That he would face. He had a heck of a game. What impressed me the most, fourth quarter they're down 23-3 at Cal, and his motor was going 100 miles an hour. When Gene Smith came in here after the pick and talked about the motor that he has would compare to a Mike McCray or an Aaron Campman, he was wrong. Mm-hmm. When you're down 23-3 and you notice a guy running around the field and playing his heart out, that you certainly take notice of that.
Yeah, you know, did they target him? Yeah, sure they targeted him. It would be impossible not to target a guy when you've got somebody that seems to have come in under the radar and he's sitting at the top of your board. Now, I don't know where he was. I don't know if he was 5, 6, 7, 8, but it was somewhere in there. He was clearly sitting in a position at the top of their board where they had to believe that if he was available, he was going to be the best available player. They had to believe that the best player was going to be available because it was likely that he would be available, almost certainly would be available when it was their turn to pick, and it was also likely that he would be at the top of their board.
Which he was.
Right.
He was at the top of their board, and hey, look, they had, I'm sure, a chance to move back, but nothing that, made it to where they would go, hey, yeah, that's a heck of a deal. And they were concerned that, as you said earlier, that Miami was going to be there to take Tyson. And, hey, look, you've got to have the courage to trust your judgment. And if he's the top player on your board, you take him.
They believe that
I give them credit for that.
Yes, they believe they knew who the other teams were that had interest in Alualu. Teams monitor this stuff very closely. They find out. They were Philadelphia, New England, Miami, Denver, and Indianapolis. Well, you had two of them right behind you, Denver and Miami. And I got to believe that weighed in whatever decision they made that let's just take them now, that had to weigh into it.
Well, once they got into the draft, De'Anthony Smith, defensive tackle, Louisiana Tech, was the next pick in round three. Their fourth-round pick they traded for Kirk Morrison, the linebacker from the Raiders.
Yeah,
he's a good player.
Yeah. Now, the De'Anthony Smith pick, that's a pick I don't think they expected to make, and here's why. They fully expected that they would be able to trade up into the second round and pick Sean Lee. Now, you want to talk about a targeted guy.
He was a targeted
guy. He was their guy. I mean, he was their guy to the point that Gene Smith talked about it before the draft. Admitted before the draft, you know, this is the guy. And then came down and talked to us after the round and said we couldn't get there. They thought they had the deal done with the Eagles, and then the Cowboys came in with a little bit more. I mean, the Jaguars' ammunition was not real good because they just didn't have a lot of picks. Clearly, they would have had to give the third round pick to the Eagles. So, I mean, they were probably offering their third and their fourth to get the Eagles to use on Sean Lee. So, given that scenario, they would have expected the third round pick to be gone, and that was the one they used on DeAnthony Smith. When they couldn't get the trade done, and then their next pick was that third round pick, they just looked at the top of their board, and there was another defensive tackle.
And you got to take him.
Yep.
If he's the highest player on your board, and hey, look, if you are going to let go of John Henderson or you're actively trying to trade him, which they were, you can never have enough big guys in the middle that are going to be good players. And if he's the highest player on your board, you take him.
I think they went into the draft knowing they were going to draft Tyson Alualu. I think they went in the draft knowing they were going to draft Larry Hart, Austin Lane, Deji Karim, and the last guy, McGee, Scotty McGee. I think they went into the draft knowing they were going to draft these guys. But I don't think they had that same feeling about DeAnthony Smith. That was supposed to be Lee.
I was told that they had a second-round grade on DeAnthony Smith.
I don't doubt that, but I think he was supposed to be Sean Lee.
And it was a deep draft.
No question.
A defensive tackle, and when he fell to them in the third round, hey, we got to take him. Kirk Morrison, I think that's pretty good. You know, we're sending the offer with Clint Ingram. And hey, look, I love Clint Ingram.
Yeah, I do too.
Great guy. Love the way he plays the game. I think there were concerns about his knee, and he got dinged a couple times last year.
There were some injury concerns.
You know, so Morrison has been a very durable player, starter in the league, and they went and drafted the linebacker from Alabama, Rolando McClain.
When?
So now all of a sudden, hey, maybe we can get that guy.
Bingo. When the Raiders drafted Rolando McClain, Gene Smith said that at that point he had a plan B. He figured that they could get Morrison. If they couldn't get Sean Lee, they could fall back on plan B, which would be Kirk Morrison.
Well, and it worked out.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the phone number to get in for folks, 800-355-NFL1 or 355-6351. Hey.
Coach Del Rio walked in.
You want to come here and sit down and have a chat with us?
Sure he does.
We don't have we got some Twizzlers to offer you. We got some candy, and we'll get Jack in front of a microphone here. All right, Jack is just about ready to go to a break. But before we go to a break, just a quick thought here. You know, obviously you've had, 3, 4, 5 days now to kind of digest the draft and have deep thoughts on it. So what are your deep thoughts?
My deep thoughts? I don't have deep thoughts.
What are your thoughts?
Well, we're happy with the way the weekend went down for us. Feel like, much like last year, you know, when we finished the draft, there were some people saying, what?
Who?
Mm-hmm.
Where?
But that's okay. I mean, I think I have to tell you, I'm very impressed with Gene and Terry. Because they're going to take the brunt of it, you know, as the guys that are calling the shots on draft day, and in particular Gene. And he stuck to his guns. I mean, we trusted the work that we did, and it's not easy to do. There was a lot of pressure, you know, to do the more popular thing, and he didn't succumb to it. And I give him credit for that. I admire that.
All right, well, let's take a break. You got a minute to do a segment with us?
Sure do.
This segment's been brought to you by Just Deck Watches. Just Deck Watches are available exclusively at Espline Jewelers. We come back with head coach Jack Del Rio right here on News Talk Radio WOKV. When you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart, 7 Jacksonville location, Stein Mart. Once you go, you get it. And we're back on Jaguars this week. We're joined by the head coach Jack Del Rio. Obviously, we got your impressions on Tyson Alualu, and when I watched the game earlier today of him against USC, he pretty much dominated the Trojans, which I think that would be the highest level of competition that he would face in that conference. But on to some of the other guys. The second round pick, DeAnthony Smith.
Third round pick,
Louisiana Tech. Your thoughts on him? He obviously the highest guy on your board, sticking to the board.
Yeah, we were. Definitely sticking to the board, and he was a guy that, you know, there were some, if it wasn't such a deep draft of defensive tackles, this is a young man that very easily could have found himself at the bottom of the first, top of the second in a typical draft where you don't have that many guys. There's just a bunch of good defensive linemen in the draft, and he was a value and, you know, one that we just felt we couldn't pass up.
Most people had the question. I mean, did you go in saying we're going to draft four defensive linemen? Bang, 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 bang.
No. No, we really didn't. In fact, you know, we made an effort to, I think Gene alluded to it, we made an effort to get in there and get the Penn State linebacker Lee, and it didn't quite work out that way. So it's not like we went in there and said we were going to take D-line at every spot. We just, it happened to be, you know, with the way it played out, it happened to be when we picked in the third round there that was an obvious value for us.
How close did you get on that trade for Lee? What did the Cowboys, I mean, how close did you get with the stuff you were offering?
Well, we were comparable. It just, you know, they elected to go a different way. I mean, you know, our position where we were going to put them was further down. I think they just wanted to ease out and not go as far down. But we gave good value for where we were asking to get. And you know, they said, yeah. I mean, they were considering it, but that by the time they got done, they had moved on and did something else. So that just happens.
It with the format having been changed, you know, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday.
Yep.
Would you like to see the draft maybe lengthen the time allotted to the pick so maybe these things can get done? Because, you know, the first round, what did they allot? 10 minutes. Second round, third round, all of a sudden you chop it down to 5. You know, I'm watching the clock, and I'm going, you know, hey, this is primetime television. You could stretch it a little bit. Now, give these teams a little more time to make something happen,
Jeffrey,
or do you like it?
Jeffrey, what are you saying?
No, I actually like that adjustment, the time adjustment that they made, I believe it was 2 years ago when we went to the shortened up.
Used to be 15 and 10.
Yeah, and it was a long time. And, you know, teams like to see their mark on the TV screen to get talked about, and they sit there and take all the time, even though they know what they're going to do. I like the way that part of it goes. And, you know, I didn't think I was going to like, you know, the break the way it worked out, but I thought it was okay. I mean, it seemed to be okay for me. It had to be agony for some of the players that thought they were going to go, you know, think you're going to go in the first day and you don't go till the third day.
Right.
That's a long wait. But
the fifth round. Quick comments on the defensive ends. And, you know, the first thing that jumps out at you when you talk about Larry Hart, 6 foot 248, and the obvious comparison to a Mathis and a Freeney, you know, smaller type frame, you know, in another small school, you know, which people
right.
know where, who.
Yeah, that's another of the picks that took some guts to follow through on. Now, we love the tape, you know, but, you know, we've liked some tape on some other guys that haven't panned out. You know, we've tried Brent Hawkins, it didn't work out. You know,
Jorge Cordova.
We've tried some smaller guys that haven't worked out. So I think this guy's a little bit different. Okay, I think he's got a powerlifting background. He's got tremendous strength in his hips. His film is really good. And, you know, we just think that he's wired in a way that'll give us a chance to be a DPR special teams guy for us. And, you know, he's not an every down defensive lineman. He's not a every down linebacker. He is a DPR special teams guy, and that's what our expectation is for him. And I think him coming in with the proper expectation level, and then if he grows beyond that, great. But that's what we're expecting for him for day one.
The fans love drafts that include quarterbacks for the obvious reason. That's the player of excitement. That's the player of renown. And, of course, I think there was a disappointment that this draft not only didn't have the quarterback in it for the Jaguars, but it lacked a quarterback. I would like you to talk about, though, there is a undrafted guy coming in here this weekend. His name is Trevor Harris, small college quarterback.
Edinburgh.
Yeah, and I've seen some scouts' eyes in this building, Tim Minji, for that matter, Gene Smith. I've seen their eyes twinkle a little bit about this guy when they talk about him. Do you know anything about him? Did you see him on tape?
I don't know him.
Okay.
I don't know him. I'm going to learn about him this weekend. I don't know him. I know that, you know, we'll see how it all plays out. But quarterback was not a strong position this year. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't. And so I think that, you know, I think Tim and Gene and the scouts that did the work, I think their feeling was that this young man had a chance to come in as a backup quarterback or to fight for a backup quarterback spot, and that there wasn't, you know, so much strength down there at the bottom that it was a sure thing to make the football team, and you don't want to just throw picks away.
Next year's quarterback crop is expected to be fabulous.
Maybe, and that also plays into it, obviously.
Would you expect this team to get its quarterback of the future next year?
Well, I think there's a strong likelihood that there would be, at some point next year, that type of consideration. That, you know, at some point, I mean, David isn't the youngest guy, and it sometimes takes a couple years to groom a guy. And so I would think, I mean, you know, I would have liked to have seen it happen this year. I would have liked to have seen it happen last year in terms of grabbing a guy that you could eventually develop. But we just didn't feel like it matched up with us this year, didn't want to force it. And numbers-wise, there are a large number of players that, according to the scouts, I haven't seen any of these guys yet, but according to the scouts, there are a large number of players at that position coming out next year. I mean, there has been discussion like it could be like 1983 in terms of great players coming out.
Dan Marino, Ken O'Brien, Tony Eason, yeah. That was the year you talked
about. As many as 22 potentially legitimate quarterback prospects next year.
That's what I'm hearing. So obviously I haven't been out on the road like the scouts have, but that's what the word on the street is.
One of the hardest parts of professional football, it is a business, and it happens all the time. But this week you had to let go of some guys. You know,
right.
Tank Daniels, Montavious Stanley, Brian Iwu, John Henderson. And I'm sure your favorite of the group, because he's probably our favorite of the group, is Clint Ingram,
mm-hmm.
You know, a guy that, you know, he came to work every day. He had he could lighten the room. You know, I mean, he really brought energy to a room. That's got to be hard.
It is. That's the hardest part. And, you know, I've been that player. You know, I've been cut. I mean, I understand it. I've been the guy in the locker room who had a buddy cut, you know, and I understand that part. And I told a couple of guys this week, I said, you know, it's not like I don't have a heart, don't feel it. I do. I just want you to know that. And sometimes, you know, it's just good to remind guys, hey, I've been there. I've been that guy cut. I've been a guy who had my friend cut. But as a football team, we have to do the right things that we believe are the right things for this organization to be at our strongest. And we felt it was time to move on, and so we did so. And, I mean, you know, a few of those guys will most likely be playing somewhere, and I'm going to do nothing but wish them the very best.
And with Clint moving on, you replace him. For a fourth-round pick, you get Kirk Morrison, linebacker from the Raiders. Obviously, you study these guys.
Yeah, we studied him. Actually, we gave them a fourth and got him and a fifth back. So it was a great deal that Gene was able to make with the Raiders. And I think they wanted to get something for a guy that they were replacing with Rolando McClain.
A pick for a player and a pick. You don't get that deal very often. You don't see a team trade a pick for a player and a pick. You don't get the pick usually, too.
Right. Yeah, I think it just worked out because they had a guy they really coveted to that spot and they were willing to do it. But anyway, it did work out where we got it done. And he's a guy who's going to plug in and be our middle linebacker. So, you know, we're excited about him. We do think we got a starter with awareness that has some nice productivity over the first 5 years of his NFL career. And he's excited. I mean, he is excited big time to be coming down here to join the Jaguars.
And so the guy you got with the pick, by the way, is Austin Lane, defensive end from Murray State.
Yep.
And so with him coming on board, middle linebacker, Darryl was the middle linebacker last year. Darryl go back out to strong. Justin fights for that weak side spot or fills in on that weak side spot. Is that what you envision?
Yes. Yes. Darryl will play the Sam linebacker spot for us. Justin will move to the Will. We'll give Russell Allen and Freddie Kieho and other guys that we have coming in camp. Everybody's going to get an opportunity to fight for a starting spot. Nobody is going into camp like with a secure spot as a starter. Now, I mean, when you say that, you know there are certain guys that you can count on. They're going to win their position, but we're going to make it very competitive in camp.
Well, the reports are Darren Sharper was in visiting That's what I'm reading online. What's going on with that?
Well, he is. He's here visiting. Had a nice conversation with him just a little while ago, and he's in here seeing the facilities and getting a physical, and, you know, we're seeing, you know, there's definite interest on both sides, and we're seeing if there's an opportunity to get something done. But he's obviously a good football player. I coached his brother, Jamie, in Baltimore, so I've known Darren a long time and the Sharper family, a classy family, and glad to have him in and having a good visit with him.
All right, do you want to stick around for the last segment? You got 10 minutes?
Okay.
Or you got to run?
No, I'll stick around.
Okay. All right, fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today, and we'll try to get to some of these phone lines right here on News Talk Radio WOKV. Portion of Jaguars This Week is brought to you by North Florida's Labor Union, a job done on time and on budget. That's the union way. There is some news for people that would like to come out and watch the Jaguars mini camp Saturday and Sunday. It is open to the public, and there will be a practice on Saturday afternoon at 3:30, and then Sunday at 10 a.m. and 3:30 p.m., and then there is one on Monday. Is that one open to the public, though? I don't believe so.
No, just Saturday and Sunday.
So Saturday
kids are still in school.
Okay, Saturday at 3:30, and then Sunday at 10, and then again at 3:30. You got to be excited to see these guys, you know, because, you look at them on tape, you talk to them, and, it's like a kid, as I said to you years ago, when you had Jorge Cordova that hurt his knee. It's like, you got to wait till next year's Christmas to open the gift. Well, this is the first time you get to kind of play with the toys.
Yeah, it is. It's obviously coaches this time of year where, we've been grinding through between the draft process and getting your system ready and the tweaks and things that you want to do to freshen up and give your guys a chance to go out there and play well. You can't wait to get out of, out of the bowels of the stadium here and get out on the field and get there in the grass and the sunshine and get coaching.
So much has been made of last year's defensive performance and with a defensive-heavy draft. What will the 2010 Jaguars defense look like and be?
Well, it'll be an attacking 4-3 front. And our D-line are going to penetrate and disrupt. And our linebackers are going to be downhill attacking. The secondary is going to – the guys that we line up and play with, they're going to play with leverage and they're going to tackle. And we're going to play good defense. I mean, I expect us to be a top-10 defense. I actually expect more than that, but I'm expecting at least a top-10 defense, and there's no reason why we can't or won't. It's just a matter of us getting to work and getting busy, and we've got some work to do, but because we have some ground to close up on after not playing so well the last couple of years. But I feel very confident that we've got a good group that can get it done.
Is safety your only remaining concern?
No, I think, we see opportunities, to potentially create some more competition there. But, obviously with Darren Sharp in the building, I mean, it'd be great to be able to acquire that. But we don't know where that's going to go. And, I believe with the guys we have right now that we're going to be that kind of defense. And if we can add some people along the way, we'll look to do that.
What about the interior of your offensive line, center and the two guards? I would have thought you would have liked to have addressed that in the draft.
Yeah, we would have. We would have liked to. In fact, that was, we went into the draft really with three primary needs, D-tackle, linebacker, returner, and interior line. And those are the four primaries that we identified as in our wish list. And, we accomplished three of them. We just didn't get the fourth one. But, it just doesn't always go the way you want. You can't force it. And the way the draft fell, it didn't quite provide that guy for us. So,
do you have any other than Vinny and Uche and Brad and Meester, do you have some young lines, so to speak, behind them?
Not young in Forney. Now, Forney's played in this league, and he's been
a good
player. And he's on a mission right now. I mean, the way he's approaching his workouts, he's intent on pushing somebody for some time. He wants to play. So don't forget about him. And then, we've got some younger guys that are going to get a chance to fight and compete, and we'll see. Guys like Cecil Newton that came on last year and, really from being a practice squad guy to being somebody that, we thought maybe at the end of the year he had a chance to develop. So, those young guys will get a chance to continue to push and develop. But Forney's the one guy I'd keep my eye on because I think I like the way he's pushing.
You've had a chance, obviously, with reshaping the roster, and it happens every year. You also reshaped the coaching staff a little bit. Now you've had a chance to kind of see these guys work together. You've added some, and some of them left. How do you see that working out, and how is it going?
Well, it's going great in terms of chemistry in the building. The culture of this building has changed. I mean, you have to be able to,
Jack?
Well, you have to be able to feel it just in every way. It's really when Gene took over last year, there was a dramatic shift in the way we were going to approach things. And that's really carried over in terms of, you know, I have looked to do some changing of my own. You can't continue to do the same things and expect a different result. And we're not going to do things the same way. We have not approached things the same way as the staff. Now, obviously, there's some core beliefs that I have that are solid football beliefs that I will maintain. But in terms of the approach, the terms of putting the staff together, in terms of the freshness, this is almost like 2 years ago you got a new coach, because usually you don't get this kind of change without that. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, with Gene and I hooked up and the way we're building this thing right now, I feel very good about the fact that, in my opinion, we're coming out of this little downward we're basically in a little bit of a valley, you know, and you know how the league works in cycles. And I feel like we're coming out of that valley and getting ready to climb, and I'm looking forward to it. Now I'm energized by it.
Do you anticipate, you know, any late additions? You know, because for years, you know, the league used to have that June 1 thing, and guys would come available. Well, the draft is kind of just wrapping up, and do you anticipate – any veteran guys, you know, besides the guys that are free now,
yeah,
that may come available between now and the time you go to camp?
They're almost sure, surely will be a few.
Let me give you one name,
yeah,
of a guy who will. O.J. Atogwe. What is the deal there?
I don't know. You brought that up earlier in the offseason, and I was...
Who is he? What position?
St. Louis Rams, yeah. Safety, outstanding safety for a few years. He's one of these guys who, because of the CBA being voided, he would have been unrestricted, but because of the CBA, mm-hmm, because of this being uncapped year, he's like Maurice Jones-Drew would have been. He's restricted. So it's a goofy kind of procedural thing, but it looks like the Rams are going to release him at some point around June 1.
Hmm. Yeah, no, I can't speak to that specifically. I don't have any information on that other than I know we played against him last year. So I really can't comment on that. He's on another team right now. But
safety, guard, interior offensive line, those would be in areas that you would look at does come available.
Yeah, we'll continue to look anywhere we can to strengthen ourselves. I think one thing that that really I feel good about is the way we're approaching, you know, not only the college draft and the way we value things, but pro free agency as well. It'll be monitored very closely.
All right, well, Jack, hey, thanks for stopping in.
Thanks a lot.
My pleasure, guys. Even if I didn't get that pizza I was looking for.
We'll have it for you.
We gave you some Twizzlers.
I appreciate it.
And, folks, don't forget, minicamp is open to the public Saturday, 3:30, and then Sunday at 10 in the morning and 3:30. Those are the start times of the practice, and practices typically go, you know, hour and a half, 2 hours, so make plans accordingly. We'll talk to everybody. Same time, same place, right here on News Talk Radio, WOKV.
This has been Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, on your flagship station for Jaguars football, AM 690 and 106.5 FM. News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.